The Victoria Police Force presents D-24. From the files of the Victoria Police, for the first time, come these true stories of unceasing war against crime, of day and night vigilance that protects our life and our property, and of the nerve center of the Police Information Bureau, D-24.
D-24 calling all cars and stations. The following man, name unknown, is urgently wanted for questioning. Age, about 26. 5 feet 7 inches tall. Dark hair. Last seen wearing brown felt hat, gray check sports coat and trousers, tan shoes. This man is probably armed.
This is the true story of the gallant bank teller. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. Bob Miller was the kind of son any mother would be proud of. He was born in a Victorian provincial city, and from the very first, life held great promise for him. His physical fitness was obvious from the start. Yes, and a few years later, those lungs stood him in good stead on the playing fields at school.
Mom, I'm in the footy team. I've been picked to play in the footy team. You just have to buy me some footy boots.
And on Sundays in the fine cathedral, his voice found another and very different outlet. Bob was about 17 when, after a successful career at school, he applied for his first job.
If you'll just give me a chance to show what I can do, sir, I'm sure you'll be satisfied.
Yes, I somehow think we will. All right, Bob, you can start at 9 o'clock next Monday morning. You've been here a year now, Bob, and we're very pleased with your progress. So we're giving you a rise. ladies and gentlemen, it's nearly 3 years since Bob Miller joined the staff of this bank. During that time, he's done, well, very well, and now he's being promoted to Melbourne. We're all very sorry to lose him, but I'm sure that one day he'll be back. And when he does come back, it'll probably be as manager.
Yes, life was grand for Bob Miller. And nothing seemed more certain than he was destined for a full share of its good things. At the early age of 22, Bob Miller was dead. On a wall of the cathedral where Bob Miller sang each Sunday is a plaque on which are these words: "He was fatally wounded while gallantly defending his trust." Just how gallantly he defended his trust, we'll tell you in this true story. If you'd been in a certain city hotel some 15 years ago, you might have seen two men named Stan Bennett and Joe Masters in earnest conversation. But you'd have had to be very close to them to hear what they were saying. for they rarely raised their voices.
Now, you listen to me, Joe.
Oh, I'm sick and tired of listening to you, Stan. So help me, you're the biggest ear basher this side of the Black Stump.
But I tell you, I'm giving you the chance of a lifetime to make some real dough.
Yeah, I know. But I got to get back home to New Zealand.
You mean you're getting too yellow to take a chance, don't you?
You'll get a poke on the nose if you go on talking like that, sport.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, let's have another drink. Shut up.
All right. Two more beers, mate, will you?
Two more? Okay.
You know, Joe, I could have sworn you'd come in with me on this job. Now I'll have to look for somebody else.
Why don't you do it on your own?
No, it'll need two.
There you are, boys. A couple of beers.
Oh, thanks. Have one yourself.
Yeah, thanks, I will.
And push off down the other end of the bar, will you? We're talking business.
What? Planning to rob a bank or something?
What did you say?
Oh, nothing. I'm just having a little joke.
Well, we don't like jokes. Now, beat it.
Righto, righto. No need to get your wool off.
Reckon he heard something?
Nah. Just a smart aleck. Good luck.
Cheers. Stan?
Yeah?
How much do you reckon you'll get if you pull off that job?
Plenty. And there's no if about it. It's a cinch. There'd be 200 or 300 in it for you.
200 or 300?
You could do with that much, couldn't you?
Oh, you're telling me.
Then what about it?
How soon could we do it?
Soon as you like. Next Friday'd be a good day.
Let's have another drink. Hey, sport. 2 more beers.
Righto. Coming up.
And we don't want no smart cracks, neither.
Okay, okay.
Now, tell us the old score, Stan.
Wait till this bloke's out of the way. Hurry up there, will you?
Now, look here, I've just about had you.
What are you going to do about it?
Any more from you and I'll come over and job you.
You ever seen one of these before?
Don't be a goat, Stan. Put it away.
Yeah, right, eh? But I can grab it again quicker than you can wink if I want to. Now, you got any more to say, mate?
No. No, I guess I ain't.
Good. And leave the beers there and move along.
Yeah. Yeah, there you are.
What you have to do that for? We'd better get out of here.
Not till we're ready. He won't be game to do anything. Look at the mug. He's still shaking.
Oh, I don't like guns.
Nobody likes guns. But on the sort of job we're going to pull, you got to have one.
Well, I thought you told me you'd squared the teller at the bank.
So I have. When we get to the bank, we've got to put on a show, haven't we?
I don't like it. Oh,
don't be a goat. No one will get hurt. We just go in, bail up the teller and anyone else who's there, pick up the dough the teller's going to have ready for us, and go for our lives.
You're quite sure the teller's in the nail?
I told you he was. He's short of chips, too, so we're splitting the dough 3 ways. Now, look, tell you what we'll do. We'll go out to the bank tomorrow, and I'll introduce you to the teller.
You mean that?
Yeah. Then maybe you'll believe what I say.
All right. That'll do me. If the teller's on our side, I reckon you're right. The job's a cinch.
There's the bank over there.
Where?
Look, can't you see the sign on the window?
Well, it's only an agency or something.
That's what makes it so good. The only bloke in it is the teller.
But he wouldn't hold much dough there, would he?
On Fridays, he does. Come on, let's go over and have a look inside.
Yeah, right, eh?
Now, on Friday, we come here by taxi, and we'll leave it about 50 yards up the road there.
Yeah?
As soon as we grab the dough, we run out the door and go in different directions.
Aye? Eh?
You dive into the cab and then drive it round the block. I'll scoot round the other way and you can pick me up.
You've got everything worked out, haven't you?
I reckon so. Hey, just a minute.
What's wrong?
Stay back here. Don't go in the bank.
Why not?
The teller source.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I don't know. But he shook his head as soon as he spotted me. Must be someone there he doesn't want us to see.
Well, what do we do?
Buzz off. The main thing is you've seen the layout of the place, and you know where to go and what to do.
But we were going to talk to that teller.
Well, we can't, so forget it.
Suppose it's all right. You wouldn't be kidding me about the teller being in with us, would you?
Of course I wouldn't. Come on, get back to town.
And so a crime was planned. For bank teller Bob Miller, Friday, May the 11th, was an especially busy day. But he was used to that. Even so, he was quite pleased when the clock on the wall showed a few minutes to 3 o'clock. For that meant the doors would soon be closed for the day. He felt fairly sure, in fact, that Miss Marjorie Hughes, who kept a nearby florist shop, would be his last customer.
My word, you've got it fine this afternoon, Miss Hughes.
Oh, yes, I know. I do try to come in early, you know, but something always seems to delay me. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, it's not quite 3 o'clock yet.
It was such a silly thing that kept me today, though.
Huh?
Yes, Mr. Maxwell stopped me.
Mr. Maxwell, the grocer?
That's right. I was hurrying down the street when he came up and asked me about some men who were standing around a taxi a few doors along.
Something funny about them?
Well, I didn't think so. But Mr. Maxwell said they were acting strangely and told me to have a good look at them so I could remember them later. He'd even written down the number of the taxi.
Come on.
Oh, I thought he was rather silly, but I didn't like to tell him so. He's a nice old chap, really, and... Oh, but now I'm talking too much, aren't I? Oh, it's time you were closed. And I just want to pay in these two checks.
All right, that won't take a jiffy. There you are, Nat. All correct.
Oh, thank you. Oh, good gracious.
Well, what's wrong?
Those two men at the door.
Eh?
They're two of the men I was telling you about.
Oh, don't you worry. I can look after them.
But they may make trouble.
Oh. Well, you'd better not be here. You hurry along now.
Oh, yes, yes, but be careful.
You were wanting something, gentlemen?
Yes, we did.
Well, what can I do for you?
This is a hold-up. Put up your hand.
Here, put him up.
Oh, no, you don't.
Grab him, Joe.
You shot me.
He's down. Grab all the money you can, Joe. Let's get back to the car.
A short, sharp struggle, and then one of the bandits fired his gun at point-blank range. And Bob Miller collapsed in agony. In a few moments, we'll continue this true story from the files of the Victoria Police. This is a true story from the files of the Victoria Police. Only names, place names, and dates have been altered. It was just after 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. The two men entered the small bank of which teller Bob Miller was in charge. A shot was fired at point-blank range, and Miller fell to the floor. The bandits quickly gathered up handfuls of banknotes and made for the door, as the wounded man summoned up what little strength he could, grabbed the bank revolver and stumbled after them. Outside the door was the terrified Miss Hughes.
Mr. Miller, what happened?
Those two men. Did you see where they went?
Oh, one ran down there. There's the other, just walking up that way.
They shot me.
Oh.
I must get them.
Oh, Mr. Miller.
Must get them.
Mr. Miller.
Hey, you. Stop or I'll shoot.
You're talking to me?
Yes, I am. Put up your hands.
What's the big idea?
You robbed my bank.
You're mad. I wasn't near your bank, wherever it is.
You're coming back with me.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Don't move. Don't move or I'll shoot.
No, I know you're mad. No use arguing with a gun.
Come on there. Back to the bank. You go in front.
Okay.
Keep your hands up.
Don't worry, I will.
What's going on here?
This man robbed the bank.
This bloke's off his head.
Two men came in the bank. One shot me.
You don't look too good, Mr. Miller.
Just about done.
Hold up.
Take the revolver.
Yes.
Call the police.
Yes, right.
I tell you he's crazy.
I'm not so sure. Keep your hands up.
I can't go any further.
Hold up. Go on. Get moving into the bank, you. Someone look after Bob Miller. Go on, you. Do what I say.
You'll be in trouble for this.
Don't you argue. Start walking. Here's the door. In you go.
You don't call this a bank, do you?
You know it is. Get inside.
We've run for the police, Mr. Andrews.
Oh, good. Did someone get the other man?
No. He jumped into a taxi and got away. But Mr. Maxwell, the grocer, took the number.
That's fine.
Think you're all pretty smart round here, don't you?
We're too smart for you, my friend. Just you keep quiet and still till the police arrive, or I'll shoot you.
You wouldn't be game.
Don't rely on that.
Oh, here's that crazy bloke now. He looks bad.
Oh, carry him over here.
Put down the gun and look after him.
Not on your life. How is he, Miss Hughes?
Oh, dear. He looks awful. Simply awful. He's still breathing, but only just. Oh, what a dreadful thing for anyone to do to such a nice young man.
Well, don't look at me, miss. I didn't shoot him.
You were one of the two men who came into the bank.
Now, don't you start.
Well, we'll soon find out. He's the constable. Here's your man, constable.
All right. I'll take care of him.
Don't you touch me.
What's the story, Mr. Andrew?
Two men tried to rob the bank. Bob Miller was shot, but he went after them and brought this man back.
Well, he brought the wrong man back. I was never in the bank. Did anyone see me in the bank?
I saw you come out of the bank.
You're a liar.
That's enough of that. Put out your hands.
What?
I said put out your hands. I'm putting these handcuffs on you.
You're making a big mistake and you...
I don't think so. Come on.
All right, but you'll be sorry.
And now, who's looking after Mr. Miller?
We've rung the doctor and an ambulance, Constable.
Good. Now I'll get to D-24 and we'll get the detectives on the job.
At the same time, the number of the taxi concerned was flashed to headquarters, and there was no difficulty in tracing its owner.
You drove two men to Glen Iris this afternoon?
Yes.
Do you know the names of the men?
No.
You're quite sure?
Quite.
You had never seen them before?
Never. They just asked me to drive them, like any ordinary passengers.
You didn't know they intended to commit a crime?
How should I?
Even when they ask you to wait near the bank?
There's no crime in that.
No, but what about when one of the men comes racing back and jumps into the car?
I didn't know there'd been any shooting.
But you thought something had happened.
Yes, and I was scared.
So you drove off?
Yes, as fast as I could.
Where to?
I started off for town, but the bloke made me take him to the station.
Yes?
So I dropped him there, and that's the last I saw of him.
You've no idea where he was going?
Not the slightest.
I see. You'll be able to give us a description of him, I suppose?
Yes.
Right. And we'll probably want to ask you further questions later.
Meanwhile, back at the bank, the police were gathering whatever evidence was available. And despite Stan Bennett's protestations of innocence, nearly a dozen witnesses were prepared to say he had rushed from the bank immediately after the shooting.
I saw him.
So did I.
He's the man.
I watched him come out.
There was another man with him.
The other man raced to a car.
This man walked up the other way.
Then Mr. Miller went after
him. He's the man.
I saw him.
So did I.
He's the man, all right.
All the while, a desperate battle was being fought. Not with guns and bullets, but with every aid known to medical science. A battle that was carried on through the night as doctors, surgeons, and nurses struggled to save the life of Bob Miller. But their efforts were doomed to failure.
After operating to remove the bullet, it was decided that a second operation was necessary. This was performed, but the patient did not respond. Robert Miller died at 7:15 a.m.
A young life was cruelly ended. The bandit Stan Bennett was charged with murder, and a detailed description of his accomplice was broadcast and published throughout the length and breadth of Australia.
Here is his description. Age, about 26. 5 feet 7 inches tall, dark hair. Last seen wearing brown felt hat, grey checked sports coat and trousers, tan shoes. This man is probably armed.
Wanted for the murder of Robert Miller at Glen Iris on the 11th of May.
Wanted for murder.
Public indignation was intense as the entire community joined with the police in efforts to apprehend the wanted man. Every lead was followed, however vague, however unlikely.
Police here! Open up! Police here!
Hello, D-24. About that man you're looking for. I saw him in Brunswick.
That man, he was on my tram.
I saw him in Bourke Street.
At Collingwood.
At Malvern.
South Melbourne.
Geelong.
Ballarat.
Bendigo.
Police here! Open up! Police here!
Check every road, every train, every aircraft.
Check.
Check. Double check.
Police here! Open up! Police here!
And the result of all this activity? Failure. Complete failure. The second man might never have existed for all the trace that could be found of him. Days, weeks, months went by, all to no avail. Meanwhile, Stan Bennett had been tried, found guilty of manslaughter, and sentenced to a long term of imprisonment. And meanwhile, the police had investigated and solved scores of other crimes, and Joe Masters probably felt he was forgotten. But the police never forget. And one night in Sydney, a young traffic constable's attention was caught by a simple enough offense.
Hey.
You talking to me?
Yes. Can you not see the red lights against you?
No one takes any notice of red lights here.
No?
So get off me back.
Now, just a minute.
Oh, leave me alone, will you? I'm not a criminal. I done nothing wrong. Never did any wrong in my life, so let me be, will you?
No, there's no need to get so worked up. If you'd just stopped back when I asked you, there'd be no fuss.
You got nothing on me, nothing at all, I tell you. You're just a mug cop, that's what you are, just a mug cop.
No, you're being silly, you'd better come along with me.
No, I'm going nowhere. Get out of my way.
Come here.
No, let me go. Let me go.
Now, will you come quietly? You've got something on your mind, my friend. Something far more serious than a traffic offence. I will make some inquiries about you.
Joe Masters had been clever. He'd evaded capture for months. But he'd never been clever enough to win the battle with his nerves and his conscience. And at a Sydney police station, he was asked some awkward questions.
Have you ever been in Melbourne?
No.
I think you have.
No.
I think you might be the man the Victoria Police are looking for in connection with the shooting of a bank teller named Robert Miller.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Ever heard of a man called Stan Bennett?
No.
I think he might know you. You might be the man he blamed for the actual shooting.
I didn't shoot. Bennett's a liar. He had the gun.
But you were with him, weren't you?
This thing's been driving me mad. I didn't know there was going to be any shooting, so help me, I didn't. I'd never have been in it if I had. It was Bennett taught me into it. Said the teller was in the know and there'd be no trouble. I'm not a killer. I wouldn't hurt no one. I haven't had a decent night's sleep since it happened. I got away, and you couldn't get me, but now you have. I'm glad. I'm glad, I tell you. A bit longer, I'd have gone right off me head.
And so the chase was over. Few men can kill or be involved in a killing and then just cast it out of their minds. Sooner or later, they give themselves away. And when they do, the ever-watchful police are ready and waiting. The criminal, Joe Masters, was no exception. And when he was returned to Victoria, he confessed his part in the crime, but, of course, put all the blame for the shooting on his associate. Brought to trial, he, too, was found guilty of manslaughter and went to jail for a long term. Another police case was closed. But the terrible damage the criminals had inflicted could never be repaired. Robert Miller was dead. He had died gallantly defending his trust. But even one such life is too valuable to be lost. And we should all resolve to help our police whenever and wherever possible, so that such horrible crime may be kept at a minimum. Only then will our lives and our property be safe. Only names, place names, and dates were altered in this true story. It was dramatized from the files of the Victoria Police by Roland Strong, who now says goodbye until the same time next week, when there'll be another true story in this series, D-24, which is brought to you by the Victoria Police Force and produced in the studios of Hector Crawford Productions by Dorothy Crawford.